Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Mark's 9th annual WrestleMania wrap-up show. You're in for a real treat tonight as WrestleMania has ended, and we brought on Doug Hahn, Roger Caven, Aaron Hughes, and Andrew to discuss the results of WrestleMania 34. Let's get into the results, and we got to start out with the main event tonight. So we had, of course, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, and Aaron, what were your thoughts on this match?
I hate finisher spam, and in this match, we had two spears in a row, after like no buildup and an immediate kick out. The crowd was completely dead for it. And then Brock Lesnar did two F5s, or I think it was three F5s, an F5 onto the table, and then a fourth one in the ring, and Roman still kicked out. And then after the whole blood happened, which was really cool. Actually, that's when I got into the match. He did another F5, and I was like, this is stupid. This is beyond stupid. I said some expletives with Roger, and somehow Brock Lesnar retains, and I am just dumbfounded by it now.
Yeah, I agree on this. I'm just more amazed that that happened. Like, why would he retain? I'm just surprised because we all picked Roman Reigns. We thought Roman Reigns was going to win, and we were wrong. Doug, what were you saying when this match was happening?
I was wondering more what was happening in the crowd, because they were not reacting to the match. When they were going yay and everything like that, it was not to anything in the crowd. In fact, you've watched all the people in the back had their backs turned to the ring for most of the match. And it was just finisher spam after finisher spam after finisher spam. And I was like, how much more am I really going to have to take of this? I was very surprised to see Brock Lesnar win, which both makes me happy and sad all at the same time, because that means this has to continue. We still have to get the crowning moment for Roman Reigns. And so for that part, it makes me sad. It makes me happy that Roman is not my champion, but how much longer do we have to wait?
And Roger, you were watching this with Aaron. What did you think? What was your reaction compared to Aaron's?
So I looked at Aaron with a slack jaw on my face, because I very clearly said that I am 110% sure that Roman Reigns was going to win. Like I had said it, I would have bet $1,000 and said there's no chance that Roman loses here. So I was stunned. I said when we come on here, I will be shocked if we're not saying Roman Reigns is your new Universal Champion. And Roman Reigns is not your new Universal Champion. Having said that, this match was not good. There's no way to say it. Finisher spam is stupid. There's something to protecting finishers. You know, when we're talking about the other matches, we're not going to be talking about anyone kicking out of five finishers. Brock Lesnar hit him with five F5. It took one F5 to put down Strowman. It took one F5 to put down Joe. It took two or three F5 to put down Goldberg. It took five F5s to put down Roman Reigns. This was so stupid. This was Superman to the whole next level. It was dumb. It wasn't a good match. Like Doug said, the crowd was more interested in something else. I spent half a match on my phone waiting for it to end. It was so bad that Roman's first two spears that he hit, no reaction from the crowd. That match did not feel like a main event at all. Like the night felt like it ended with the other world title match. Not a good match. Another disappointing Roman main event. The only good thing is that Brock won. And now I'm interested, because everyone has title matches, he can lose. It wasn't the coronation buildup for Roman now. Now he could lose to Joe. Now he could lose to Lashley. Now he could lose to Strowman. Whoever he faces from here on out can beat him. And that is interesting to me, because this whole year of waiting for 34 was pointless. Now it's actually fun.
Now, when did this start again? WrestleMania 31 is this originally started, the whole thing with the Roman project?
Yep. So this started with his Royal Rumble win at Philly going into 31.
So finally someone got into Vince's head and said, hey, by the way, no one likes him. Just go ahead.
Well, I think the big question here, though, is what are they going to do with Roman? You know, Roman, as Roger said, $1,000 we would have bet on. Like, I would have put $1,000 on this. There's no way that Roman is not going to go over. So he didn't go over. What does he do tomorrow night? What is he going to do for the next month and the month after that? And I have no clue. Like, this is one of the very first times that I can say I have no idea what they are going to do with Roman Reigns. Doug, do you have any insight or any idea what they might do? Not just rumors, but, you know, if you're booking this, where do you go?
This has got to be a time where you have him go off. You're going to have him go off tomorrow night. I can see one of two things happening tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, he's either going to come out and do the same kind of promo he did last year, where he tries to talk, but then he doesn't talk and just leaves, you know, disappointed or whatever. Or he's going to come out there and be like, you know, Braun beat me. It took five F5s. I'm the toughest SOB in the business. And it's going to be bad. It's just going to be bad. What they need to do is just stay away from Roman Reigns for a while. Let him go, you know, sulk his wounds or lick his wounds or whatever. Make this the time for Joe. But I think that this is going to be another rebuilding year for Reigns, where he's going to have to build all year round again to get back up to Brock Lesnar. And I think it's going to start, unfortunately, with Samoa Joe.
I hope that's what they do, but I believe that I believe that Lesnar needs to do something, whether he just says, I don't want the title anymore, and then they say whoever wins the, you know, the greatest Royal Rumble ever, whoever wins that is the new title holder. I mean, they could do that as well, but they need to do something because, I mean, Brock not being there, we've been dealing this for a while. It's got to that point where you just don't want to deal with it anymore. So
Heyman did say, win or lose, they're leaving.
Well, maybe it was kind of like, hey, will you please stay by letting him win? But if he wanted to do that, he should have only been forced to put him in maybe three F5s, and that's it. And then you could say once in the ring, once on the announcer's table, then once in the ring, that's fine. But, like, you can't have him put out that many F5s. There's no reason for it. Oh, that Superman punches. Oh, gosh. That was so annoying. But overall, Lesnar won. I mean, that's yeah. The way to look at it.
I'm honestly so dumbfounded by this. Like, there, if we look back at the pay-per-view, there are some really great matches, and there's a lot that are just, huh? Like what are they doing here? And I think that kind of leads into the match right before, which was the tag team match. Andy, you and Roger both picked Braun to win with his mystery partner. We were speculating who it could be. And they pick a Make-A-Wish kid?
That's the only thing I can think of, because I put down Big Cass on my prediction sheet. And I thought, oh, yeah, Big Cass will win easily. Or he'll be the mystery guy. Or it was going to be someone in the people with the Mardi Gras float. I thought it would be something like that. But not some rando in the crowd. That made no sense. Like, what did he do? He was like, is he going to die tomorrow? And they're like, you're going to get in the ring and then get right back out. That's it? I mean, I was dumbfounded by this, and that was just so annoying. Roger, what were you saying? What were you saying when this was going on?
So we only cared about the entrance. We wanted to see who it was, and, you know, was it going to be somebody interesting like a Neville, outside chance of Samoa Joe, hoping it wasn't Big Show. There were so many things that it could have been. And when he said it's going to be one of you, I was just like, that might be the worst payoff to a surprise entrance that I've ever witnessed. That was stupid. Like, it wasn't interesting. It wasn't funny. I guess it was a feel-good moment. It was a complete waste of time. It was a total waste of Braun Strowman. I didn't even like him in this match. I said it before. He should have been in the tag match with Rousey. This made the bar look stupid. This made the whole point of believing that WWE was going to pay off a surprise, I just give it up on that because they almost never do. Like, it's very rare when you get something cool like the Hardys returning. The match, we skipped it. I didn't care. That's how, once I saw him grab the kid, I said, I'm done. Maybe there was somebody cool in the stands that he was going to go pick, and that was a plant. Once he picked the kid, I was like, well, this is dumb. Like, that's all I can say about this. This was dumb.
This was absolutely stupid and no payoff. I would have rather seen it just announced that it's going to be Braun Strowman versus the Bar. Like, I picked the Bar mostly because I figured they were going to pin whatever person he picked just to keep him, you know, both being able to say whatever. And this is the sad thing. I think this is going to continue where he's just going to go pick up some random Make-A-Wish kid every week that he's got to face off or defend the titles. He's just going to keep doing this for a while, and it's going to make whatever tag team he is facing weaker. He has just dumbed down the whole Raw tag team title division. And I think that's sad. I really don't know where you're going to go with this. Eventually somebody, he's going to pick somebody, and that person, you know, maybe he picks not necessarily Make-A-Wish kid, but some average Joe Schmo, and they finally do get the pin. And because I can't believe he actually tagged in the kid.
Yeah, that was a little ridiculous.
Yeah, it was dumb. It was really dumb. However, though, I will say one of the matches that I did not think was dumb was AJ Styles Nakamura. Match was totally fine. What was fascinating to me, though, was the fact that Nakamura turned heel. And I'm kind of intrigued by that as well. Like, so the Raw and the SmackDown main events right now, I'm intrigued by, because we have Brock winning and we have Nakamura being heel. So there's going to be a payoff match, I assume, at the next pay-per-view for him. So I think it's going to be pretty cool.
I'm surprised, because I was not a fan of this match at all. I had high hopes going into it. And then AJ retains, of all things. So you give the Royal Rumble winner, he just retains. Or he loses against the champion? That doesn't make sense to me. I'm dumbfounded by that part of it. But also, yeah, him turning heel, okay, that was kind of cool. But I wish he would have won and then turned heel. But, you know. Oh, well.
The problem with this is, if he was going to turn heel, make him turn heel a couple weeks before the pay-per-view. That was my biggest issue with it, is I didn't need a heel turn after the match. Whether it was a heel turn during the match or sometime like a week or two before, it would have been fine. Because then you would have had, I think, a little bit more intriguing or a little bit more interest in the match. The match itself was probably a 3.5. But I think I'm more intrigued about what's going to happen next now with the heel turn. And I think the next time they face off, whether that be at Backlash, will be a lot better match.
Surprise, surprise. AJ Nakamura did not get the time they needed to put on a classic. Saw it coming. Not a big surprise here. Match was okay. I think Doug hit on that. It was a 3.5-star match. I will say one thing that was interesting is that, unlike the main event, this took one Styles clash. One phenomenal forearm. There was one Styles clash. I think he hit a Kinshasa to the back of the head, but the finishers weren't spammed. Like, the Styles clash looked special. Nakamura doesn't look weak that he didn't have to take 4 Styles clashes. It was just, it was fine. One thing that was interesting, I guess, is that right after he lost, and they were kind of doing the whole, oh, he's ceremoniously bowing down to him, me and Aaron looked and he said, okay, well, Nakamura has lost now 3 times for the title. What are they realistically going to do with him? Pretty much right before he hit AJ in the nuts. So it does make sense that Nakamura decided to go heel, and he's frustrated. I think they'd be smart not to do the immediate rematch. I think you should do the rematch probably at Money in the Bank, you know, give it a little bit of time. But I like the move. I think Shinsuke going vicious is better than Shinsuke the rock star. I mean, that was always stupid to me, the artist, all that crap. Let him be the vicious, angry guy. And they need a top heel with, you know, their top heel right now is Jinder? Rusev? I mean, it's just, they don't have anyone. So Shinsuke going heel is a good move. They need to get one of those 40-minute matches in, because this was like the opening salvo to a fight. This was not the classic that we know they're capable of, because, you know, I don't want this to be AJ Kevin Owens from the summer, where we keep talking about how the matches should be better. I want them to finally put on the match I want to see. So let's hope they get the time necessary.
I doubt that'll happen now, since they combined Raw and SmackDown on the same pay-per-view. So I don't think that'll ever happen now, which sucks. But, oh well, so let's move on to Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss. This match, I thought it served its purpose. Nia Jax wins. Doug, your thoughts on the match?
Exactly that. It served its purpose. I think this match could have been a lot shorter. I like that they gave at least a little bit of offense to Alexa Bliss, but you never felt like she was going to win, so why not cut it down a little bit shorter? The only reason it should have gone this long was if there was going to be a cash-in. But, Aaron, was there a cash-in?
It was not. And I got to say, I was very upset. We were waiting for it. The match itself, we weren't interested in. It was way too long, like you said, Doug. I said before, this match didn't even need to happen on WrestleMania, but I just sat there. I was like, Carmella's got to cash in. It's a good way to do things, especially when the expectation is Asuka wins. I thought, oh, they're going to do Carmella cash in. It'd be kind of a way to make things special. Nope, they didn't. So I think the less said about this match, the better.
This match sucked. It was boring. Asuka or Alexa never realistically had a chance to win. If the match went 10 minutes, it went 9 minutes too long. This was boring. The only thing I was interested in to see is if Carmella cashed in. And then besides, this match was too large. Alexa doesn't have the moveset to carry this to be good. Naya's moveset sucks. Like, she's just not interesting as a powerhouse wrestler because she doesn't do any impressive looking moves. I mean, her finisher's a boring Samoan drop. I don't care. Carmella should have cashed in here. She didn't. Let's be done with it.
All right, next match we had was Daniel Bryan versus Shane McMahon taking on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And this match was interesting. How they set this thing up is because before the match even happened, they took Daniel Bryan out. And I thought that was intriguing that they did that. So match with 15 minutes, but Daniel Bryan gets Sami Zayn to tap to the yes lock. Now, Roger, was this what you guys wanted to happen, or do you think they needed more time?
So they had the right amount of time. The problem was taking Daniel Bryan out of the match early made the match pointless. Like, nobody believed the match was going to end before Daniel Bryan got in. So all of the pinfalls and false finishes they did, I mean, I think Sammy at one point hit the Huluva kick and the crowd didn't pop at all. Because he's not going to beat him before Daniel gets in the match. So you didn't have to do that spot. I get what they were going for. But again, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn shouldn't have to sneak attack to beat Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is like the one, and then Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are the 2-3, and then Shane McMahon is a clear 4, which means they had the advantage logically. This match was fine. I'm disappointed that Kevin and Sami now have to go to Raw because they're screwed. But it was fine. I was happy to see Bryan back. You know, once he's in better ring shape, I think he's going to be capable. And he was not bad here at all. I just think that he was a little rusty. I don't think he messed anything up, but you can see that, you know, it takes a little bit of time. So I'm happy to see him back. I hope he's one of the main guys on SmackDown. The match itself was what I expected. It just, one of those things, like, don't go for, it was the same thing I said with Lesnar and Reigns, right? Don't go for pinfalls where it's obvious the match isn't going to end. Just continue to beat down. Or don't even jump Bryan before the match and just isolate Shane. That would have been fine.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, too, about this match when we were watching it is when Shane McMahon was in the ring and Daniel Bryan gets in, everyone is going nuts. Shane looks over at Daniel Bryan and was shocked. And you can see it on his face because he has not heard a pop like that and since probably the night that he returned after being gone for 7 years or so. So, I echo Roger's thoughts. It was a fun match. It was fine for what it needed to be. I'm interested in the storyline moving forward. And they can go a lot of different places. Hopefully they go to the right ones.
I was expecting a little bit more out of the storyline purpose of this. I was the only one that picked KO and Sammy, mostly because I think they need to stay on SmackDown, especially Sammy. But I needed something else. I needed a heel turn, Shane on to turn on Daniel or Daniel to turn on Shane. I was just expecting a little bit more. And when it didn't happen, I really thought it was going to be Shane that was going to turn on Daniel. But when Daniel went down right away, I was kind of hoping that this would be the Daniel Bryan turn. But it didn't happen. And I guess I'm just a little disappointed in it because it seemed almost too predictable, I think. You knew Daniel Bryan coming back for his first match, but he works as the underdog. What better way to keep that underdog and that wanting of him to do better or overcome than have him lose his first match back. But it is what it is, and we'll just go on.
All right, does anyone care about the Taker taking on John Cena in a 3-minute match? Does anyone care? Doug, do you care about this match?
The only thing I care about is it made my prediction wrong.
I care in the instance that we live in a world where John Cena got squashed at WrestleMania in 4 minutes. Like, go back in time to WrestleMania 23 and try to convince me that John Cena is going to get squashed in a 4-minute match. I would slap you in the face and say you need to get committed because that's ridiculous. That would be like Roman Reigns getting squashed in 4 minutes in 10 years. Like, you think Triple H is going to get – I mean, I guess he did get squashed, but he wasn't a big star when he got squashed by Warrior. I mean, it's just the absurdity of this entire thing was – this was dumb. Again, this was really stupid. A non-advertised match, but we knew it was going to happen. I mean, the Elias spot was fantastic. That was – God, he got some great heat. Thought it was a fun little segment. And then when Taker came out, it's just like, oh. And then he just buried him. Like, Cena hit, what, one backdrop? That's it? Really? Really? This was stupid.
Aaron has no words. So let's move on to the triple threat tag match, which was a really another short match. Of course, the Bludgeon Brothers, they did defeat the Usos and the New Day, which I'm really shocked about this match. But yeah, it happened. Aaron, did you really think that they were going to come out on top?
Well, I'm wrong. But my understanding was it was a TLC. I know that you guys had mentioned it. I'm pretty sure I heard them say it was a TLC as well. And maybe I'm misremembering. But that's one of the reasons I picked the Usos. And also, I felt they deserved it. Knowing it was a regular match, I would have picked Bludgeon Brothers. But this match deserved an additional 5 to 10 minutes. They should have taken it from the Rousey match, which, you know, I'm sure everyone's going to agree on. 10 minutes too long. They should have cut time from that. Match itself was fine, but it sucks because I'm more interested now in the singles match that they're going to have at Backlash between the Usos and Bludgeon Brothers, assuming they have the proper time.
I agree with Aaron. We all thought this was TLC. In fact, it was what happened was they had mentioned, not on the network, but everybody who has the app got a alert that this match was going to be TLC. And for whatever reason, they decided not to make this TLC. Had that, I would have picked the Bludgeon Brothers thinking it was a normal match. This was a silly match too. Usos deserve, I think they deserve to hold on to the titles. Although you really don't have anything else for them to compete against unless you bring up somebody from NXT who you put them in right in the title match right away. There was nowhere else to go with the Usos. So I have no problem with the Bludgeon Brothers winning. Now they can run through the entire division until probably AOP comes up.
God, I feel like I've said this a lot tonight, but this was stupid. For one, why would you reveal that it was a TLC and then just randomly change that? So that was weird. I would have changed my prediction to the Bludgeon Brothers if I knew it was going to be a normal tag. Two, this match was really a squash. Like, the Bludgeon Brothers pretty much dominated from the opening bell and just made the other five guys look inferior. I don't know. It fell flat. The Usos worked their butt off. I feel like New Day didn't hit any of their spots. Like, they just got destroyed. Yeah. I mean, good for Harper to get a win. I really like Luke Harper, but this was weird and not what I expected at all. So yeah, like Doug said, I kind of thought the Revival were going to get switched over to SmackDown and maybe the Usos versus Revival could go at it. That could have been a really fun trilogy, but that's not the plan. So let's see what Bludgeon Brothers do from here.
You know, I made a mistake. I should have picked Rowan to win after he had to put over that jobber at WrestleMania 32. We should have known that he was going to win this match.
That jobber being the most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
Yeah, that jobber.
That jobber.
All right, so let's move on to, I guess this is the match everyone wanted to see, not us, but Ronda Rousey, Kurt Angle, they took on Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. This match went 20 minutes. I think that was way too long. Overall, I mean, well, Ronda won, of course. Her and Angle won. Angle, I felt bad because I thought he looked really weak in the match. And you could tell he was dragging the entire time. But Ronda, I mean, she did okay. I mean, I'm not going to say that, like, she should have debuted here, but she did okay. But Roger, did you think that this was worth it? Or do you think it was like, eh?
I think if this match goes 12 to 13 minutes as opposed to 20 minutes, this is a really good match. I thought they did a good job of showcasing how dangerous Ronda Rousey was. She had some really good spots. You know, I thought the showdown with Triple H was really well done. Her kind of, you know, Triple H being very cocky, not taking her seriously, and then Ronda just unloading. That was very well done. You know, they had a couple of false finishes, and at both times, me and Aaron were like, oh, Hunter's going to win here. So they did a good job of building the idea that Hunter could still put himself over. My only real small gripe with the match is that former UFC women's champion Ronda Rousey should not struggle to put barely even qualify as a part-time wrestler, Stephanie McMahon, in a freaking armbar. Like, it's one thing when Ember Moon struggles with, like, Belzer, because Ember's a full-time wrestler. Stephanie wrestles once every 2-3 years. Ronda should have snapped that armbar on in 3 seconds and broke her arm. So the idea that Stephanie was able to fight out was classic overpowered McMahon, but much like Shane looking like he can hang with the top guys or Vince being able to hang with the top guys, Stephanie should have tapped out instantly. Having said that, match wasn't as bad as I thought. Ronda looked better than I thought. There was a couple, you know, minor botches. Angle looks exactly the way I thought Angle was going to look, which is gas and way past his prime. I don't want to see him wrestling anymore. I remember the old Kurt Angle. He can't wrestle to that standard anymore. I don't think he should have been in this match. It should have been Strowman. But, you know, Ronda's the future of the division. I hope she improves on her mic work. I hope they turn her character, and I hope they fix her music. But as far as her in-ring, I think she reminds me a lot of Ken Shamrock, and that's a good thing. She's definitely athletic, and she can go. She's got to polish it up a little bit.
I was very surprised by Ronda. I think she did a great job in this match. But like Roger said, this should have been about a 10-minute match, and 9 of that minute should have been Triple H versus Kurt Angle. This should have been, if they're going to start it off, I had no problem with how it started off, with Stephanie getting some cheap shots in and then running back. That was fine. But once it became the women's part of the match, that should have happened. I think there was about 3 or 4 times that I looked over at my buddy and said, yep, now it's going to go another 10 minutes because Triple H interfered. Or it's like, oh, come on, please just cut this. Just end it. But it went on way too long. But I will say, Ronda looked good in her debut. I think that goes to prove on what happens when you practice a match over and over and over again before you put it out there in the final product. So a little worried about how Ronda's going to do on live television with, you know, little to no practice. But if they can keep her on kind of like an NXT schedule where she doesn't really wrestle that much until a pay-per-view and those people have been practicing, I think she'll turn out fine once she gets used to WWE style.
This match was 21 minutes long. It was the longest match of the night, and it was unnecessary. When you look at the Bludgeon Brothers match, which was less than 6 minutes, they could have used a few extra minutes. The Nia Jax Alexa Bliss match was over 10 minutes. Take a few minutes off there. And I think it just goes to show that some of the pacing, you got to look at it and read the crowd. And I think the crowd was interested enough. But when you had the false finishes weren't good false finishes. They were, wait, what? Oh, I guess we're still going to go sort of finishes. But I agree with everyone else's points. I think it was good for what it was, but it was 10 minutes too long.
All right. Now let's move on to Roger's favorite match of the night. We had Jinder defeat RKO, Bobby Roode and Rusev Day. Roger, I want your thoughts on this match.
I'm not as furious as the night that he won the World Heavyweight Championship, because Jinder, being the U.S. champion, works with his stupid anti-American gimmick. But of the four people, he is by far the least over. Why? What do they see in this guy besides the steroids? Like, I don't get it. He's not over with the crowd the way Rusev is. He's not a better heel than Bobby Roode. He's not even Randy Orton. I hope Doug's prediction about them swapping the titles is right, because Jinder on Raw with Sunil makes sense, because Sunil can work in the cruiserweight division. Jinder can be run over by Roman. Seth Rollins can come over to SmackDown with the IC title. It can be the Work Rate Championship. Fantastic. Match was okay. Jinder winning was weird. Rusev was obviously put in there just to take the pinfall. Match was okay. Why Jinder? Just I don't get it. I never will. I never will understand what they see in him.
Vince loves him, so we'll see him over on Raw. Doug, did you think that this was going to happen? Like, you did make this prediction they were going to swap titles. Do you think this is the right move in this case?
No, because I still think you needed to have Rusev be the one that swapped the title over, because you need to bring him to the light. He is right now, I would say, he's definitely over. He needs to have a spotlight. This actually infuriated me. The only reason, I have no reason for why Jinder won. The only reason he's still on there is, and what we have determined is, they only drug test the WWE talent. And since Jinder has none, he can't be subjected to the test.
Oh, that is line of the year.
Okay.
Good night, folks. That was fun. We're done.
Yeah. I mean, can bow we down to Doug. End, Doug. Come on, we got to go out on a high note. I agree with all your thoughts, Doug. I really hope you are right with the title switch. Andy, I cannot believe you got this pick right. We were all shocked when we saw this, and I agree with Doug. Rusev should have won here, even though I picked Rude. I think Rusev would have been the one to win. But the thing I want to ask you, Doug, that we have to get to is Charlotte and Asuka. The other three of us, we all picked Asuka to win, you know, to have her streak continue. My prediction really was that she was not going to just win. She was going to continue for a full year. She was going to hold the title, like make it really, really special. But you picked Charlotte. And I know you said on the podcast, you were like, oh, yeah, you know, a streak's got in, might as well end at WrestleMania. But the streak, even though it started in NXT and on the main roster, it's only a few months old. So what was your thoughts going into this to pick Charlotte to end the streak?
It really came down to who is the person most qualified to end the streak. And if it wasn't Charlotte versus Asuka at WrestleMania, I would have picked Asuka. The only person that I felt was qualified enough to beat Asuka's streak and end the run was Charlotte. I didn't think you were going to give it to a Sasha or Bayley or anybody like that. You have to give it to your legit queen of the division, your number one person, and that's Charlotte. If it would have been a SummerSlam match, if it would have been anybody else but Charlotte, I would have picked Asuka. Until they went to this route, it's like this is the only thing that makes sense. Charlotte ends it, and at WrestleMania, what a bigger moment! I have no problem, and I have no doubt that if they were to fight at Backlash, if we just flat out see all the title matches at Backlash versus the same people, I would then predict Asuka to win. You don't have the streak anymore, but she's going to get a title. It's a matter of time. She's going to have streaks. And she might even start another streak again until Charlotte can face her again. And then you still have another, I don't know, whatever you want to do it. But this, it just felt like the right time.
So for the second time, I've called Carmella to cash in, and she has not. So that surprised me. And having said that, I agree with Doug. Like, Asuka's streak did have to end, and there is no one more qualified than Charlotte. It stands one person, and that was what my concerns slash thought process was that they're going to build this streak up for another year, and then Ronda Rousey, who's obviously their golden girl, was going to beat Asuka. So I'm happy that Charlotte did it because, again, Charlotte has been proven to be, you know, the top women's wrestler in the company over the last 2 to 3 years. So I have no problem with her ending the streak. I was a little surprised that they did it so cleanly with the tap. That definitely caught me off guard when Asuka tapped out. Like, I think both of us were like, what? What just happened? It was a good match. I really enjoyed it. I think the idea of a rematch is fine. I would give this match some time to breathe. You know, don't do this again until SummerSlam at the earliest. Like, let them go their separate ways. You know, I also think Asuka now is more interesting. Because she had the streak, she couldn't lose on normal TV. It just wasn't going to happen. Now, tag matches, she can take a pinfall. Random pay-per-view, she can take a pinfall. The streak has been broken. Now let's see where you can really go with Asuka. And maybe we see a meaner Asuka. Maybe we see a more vicious Asuka. Who knows? But there's so many different directions they can go in her character. I think this is really well done. I'm interested to see who Charlotte faces going forward because she's beaten everyone, which kind of leaves Carmella at this point. What are we going to do with the Money in the Bank? So, you know, the SmackDown's women's division looking pretty good.
I'm just going to say now, I think Carmella's going to cash in on Tuesday. I just have a feeling that's what they're going to end up doing because then that'll make sense because I wouldn't be surprised seeing Asuka come over, beat the crap out of Charlotte, and then have it at that time. But yeah.
Before we go on, there's an idea that someone pointed out. They redid the Money in the Bank match. So technically, Carmella's contract does not end at Money in the Bank. It ends like 2 weeks later. So it is theoretically possible that you could have a double cash-in match, which is whoever wins this year's Money in the Bank goes to cash in, and then Carmella cashes in over top of them because both of their contracts would be valid, which I could see happening. It would be interesting to see it go from like a singles match to a triple threat match to a fatal four-way match, and it'd be the first time in ever that two Money in the Banks have been cashed in at the same time.
Okay, that's actually a good idea.
Just a thought.
All right. And then let's go on to the opening match, which I never thought would be the opening match. We had The Miz taking on Finn Balor and Seth Rollins. And this is a really good match. This was a really good match. They only gave him 15 minutes, but Aaron, who won?
Yeah, so Rollins, which Doug picked as well. So, like, right off the bat, Roger and I were like, is Doug going to sweep this? Like, just with some of the picks which we were not expecting, you know, Charlotte in particular, I think we were just not expecting. And we were thinking that maybe Doug's going to just run away with it. However, though, match itself was good. It was very fast paced, very high energy, and it was the perfect opening match. They did a fantastic job with this. Any of them could have won. It would have been totally fine. Rollins winning makes him the final Shield member to be a Grand Slam champion. And if they swap the belts, I think Rollins on SmackDown would be money. And moving gender to Raw, let him feud with with Roman Reigns. That might be the best spot for him right now.
That would be the only time that Roman Reigns will get cheered.
This made sense to me the most because of the fact that you had Rollins, just everything that he's done recently, the the gauntlet match where he took out Reigns, he took out Cena, and finally lost to Elias after beating two of those guys clean. You had him in the Royal Rumble, and he had about an hour long in that match. I was getting to the point where if he doesn't win this match, he is my Money in the Bank winner prediction, just because he needed a big win on a big stage. But he got it here. I agree with you guys in the fact that I think Finn Balor needed it the most. But it was in the cards for Rollins, and I'm glad for him. I'm very interested to see what Finn goes from here. I was very disappointed with the entrance. When I saw that Finn was going to come out last, I expected the Demon, and we got what? The Pride Parade celebration?
Yeah, I didn't get that. Like, what was the point of pushing that?
I didn't know, but I'll be excited if Rollins does go over to SmackDown. You bring Jinder over, and what better way to have The Miz get a title that's not breaking any Intercontinental records or extending any Intercontinental records? You can have him have the U.S. title and continue that and continue with a belt later on down the road when he comes back from whatever maternity leave he wants to take, because it's well-deserved. He's been doing everything for a while now on Raw, and he deserves a little bit of a break.
So a couple of things. To your Miz point, he must chase the Intercontinental Championship. He must follow the Intercontinental Championship over to SmackDown, and he must reunite his feud with Daniel Bryan. These things need to happen. So Miz coming home to where he belongs, where he can be a legitimate world title contender. Miz versus Styles for the World Heavyweight Championship would be fantastic. I have no problem with this. Match itself, I thought was really good. Great choice for an opener. My only real gripe is, like Doug, the entrances, for one, made no sense. Champion coming out first, I can live with if they have an elaborate entrance. Why did Rollins come out first, then the champion? Okay, well, then that must mean Finn must be doing a really special, elaborate Demon entrance. Is he going to be super? Wait, what? He's just coming out as Finn Balor? That's it? It's just, look. No problem with the idea of them going, you know, Balor Club, where why we're being inclusive, all that stuff. But WrestleMania is about, you know, elaborate, special, theatrical entrances. Rollins' entrance was cool. Miz's entrance fit his personality to a T. Balor's fell flat. Considering this was his first WrestleMania and we've seen the Demon, what happened to the Demon? Like, I don't get it. He came out for the Demon at SummerSlam, but not at WrestleMania? That was very, very bizarre to me. And then going forward, look, Rollins' place is kind of solidified. He is going to be an upper mid-card to main event guy. Finn Balor needed this so much more. I have no idea where he goes from here. He's not in the World Heavyweight title picture. He's not in the tag picture. What is he doing? Where does he go?
He needs to be woken.
Okay, cool. The Demon does inside of him needs to be woken. I am okay with this, but they need something for him, because him being smiley, generic babyface does not work. I'm not saying turn him heel. I'm saying give him an edge, give him a character, give him storylines. Make Finn great again. That's what I'm saying.
One thing I also want to point out is I love the fact when Rollins did come out and he was the knight, was it the Night King?
From White Walkers, right?
Yeah.
Is that, was the he White the Walker Night King?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was cool with the blue eyes and everything. That was so cool. But yeah, let's go on to the pre-show. We had Naomi, defeat Bayley.
So just real quick, the only thing I want to say about this match is we all picked Sasha Bayley. They were essentially the final two. And Bayley wins. And we're like, oh, that's cool. It was a great moment for Bayley. She gets a crowd pop. Naomi comes in, throws her out, and the crowd was like, huh? And so I said to Roger, she got Mysterio'd, which I'm using as a verb, because when Mysterio came out at number 30 and got booed, it was wait, you're feeding him to the wolves. You are doing him a disservice. You're having somebody who is a face get booed. And that's what happened with Naomi. Naomi should have, they should have called an audible and they should have like had her stay out. And then maybe she could have come over to Raw and said, wait a second, I never got thrown out. So I'm still in the match. And then you do a one-on-one match. That's what you could have done. All right. They should have called an audible there. I think it was a mistake.
I did like the fact Carmella getting eliminated. Everyone went after her. I thought that was good. Roger, do you have any thoughts on this match or was it just there?
That was so stupid. Again, my theme of the night. That was so stupid. Sasha Bayley, they had set it up. You know, it was very clear they made three people special. Becky had the first entrance. Bayley had the second to last. And Sasha entered last. Okay, so those were your three important people in the match. Once you got it down to two, quote unquote, you should have just done Bayley versus Sasha. And Bayley turned on Sasha. That was like, wow, that's a fantastic story to tell. Bayley finally gets her big moment. The crowd popped. And then all of a sudden we look over and it's Naomi. And look, if that had been a heel standing there, great move. Like Carmella never actually got tossed out. She was the last person standing. She steals the moment from Bayley. What a great heel move. But instead you had Naomi. Like, why did you put a face there and then let Naomi just unceremoniously chuck her? It was like, why? Like, this was, and the crowd was so dead for her too. It was just like, really? Like, if you're going to do that, you know, it's like, that would have been like doing the Undertaker Cena segment, and instead of Elias, you had, you know, one of your mid-card faces come out, like, you know, Apollo Crews. It's like, well, why? Why would you have the crowd be disappointed to see a face? You have them disappointed to see heels. You have heel screw over faces. This just poorly done, very poorly done. Either make a heel in this moment or give Bayley her moment. And I get that Vince doesn't like Bayley, so Bayley's never going to succeed over there. She's got to get off Raw. But good Lord, who made this call and why? I would love to hear the reasoning as to why they made this call.
The only reason you make this call is because everybody was predicting it to be Sasha Bayley. And I really got to think that the only reason they picked Naomi was just that aspect of, we got to throw somebody that's not predictable in this to win this. The problem I had with it was when they showed Becky getting eliminated. Who was on the outside laying on the ground also? That's right, Naomi. And just like I didn't like at the Royal Rumble, where all the women are on the outside and you don't know who's been eliminated, that's what happened in this match. Half of the time, half of the women are laying on the outside and you didn't know who went over the top rope and you don't know who went through a middle rope. And so when it came into it being Naomi over there, I was like, no, she got eliminated when Becky Lynch got eliminated. What is wrong with this picture? I don't understand. And it kind of ruined the whole thing for me. I couldn't get behind it. I don't understand why you would pick Naomi to be your first women Battle Royale winner. Again, I think this is a great moment. Even when Bayley kind of did a heel turn, because she threw her out after like a high five or whatever, but it didn't make any storyline sense. And you know that Naomi's not going to get much more of a push than that. And I think that's kind of sad because you just see her going down the line of every other male winner so far. Welcome to Mediocracy, Naomi.
Yeah. Well, let's just, that happened. It was there. 10 minutes. Let's move on. 205, Cruiserweight title. with Drake Maverick, Roger's favorite name ever. We had Cedric Alexander take on Mustafa Ali. And this match, I thought they did a good job. I wish they would have had more time and probably let them wrestle the way they should have. But overall, I was excited. Cedric Alexander, we all picked him. He did win. I'm very happy for him. It was just a little over 12 minutes for the match. Aaron, did you get a chance to watch this pre-show match?
Unfortunately, I didn't because I was on my way to Rogers. So this was the only match of the night that I had missed. I did see some of the highlights, and it looked like it was a really high octane match. But Roger, I know that you saw it, and it was during the time I was driving over. So I know you had some thoughts on the match.
I thought it was a good match. It felt, I don't want to say flat, because I thought the match was entertaining, but this would have been better if this were Cedric versus Neville and, you know, the winner of the Cruiserweight Classic 2 faced the dominant champion, so there was more of a storyline build, because this was really just two guys who got to the end of a tournament. It didn't really have that special WrestleMania match feel to it. I did like Cedric showing some of the aggression, you know, him talking about stay down, hitting him with a vicious triple elbow to finish it. Both of them did a Spanish fly. Cedric was fantastic on the running. I liked Ali from the top rope. I liked the desperation that Ali showed when he went for the 054 for a second time, just basically realizing that he needed to do whatever he could to try to take Cedric out. You know, I think the right guy won. I like Cedric Alexander, and maybe he can be one of the top guys. I don't know if this signals a heel turn or maybe he's just going to be male retweener, but he was pretty aggressive in this match, and he is a pretty big cruiserweight, so he can do similar things that Neville could did, where he could just bully people. Good match. I hope 205 keeps up the momentum. They've been much better since, you know, Triple H has taken over. So let's hope they keep that direction going. Let them interact with the people on Raw more.
Yeah, 205 match. It was a good match. This almost deserved to be on the actual card because it was a lot better than the regular card matches. So that's all I'm going to say about this one. But I'm glad Cedric won. It was a good match, and let's hope they keep it up.
All right, then the opening match of the night, we had the 30-man Battle Royale for the Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy. This one was an interesting one because I didn't think the guy who won was going to win. And, Doug, who won this match?
This one went to Matt Hardy? Because I don't even think the timekeeper or anybody knew what happened. Bray Wyatt came out and helped out Matt Hardy and threw out Baron Corbin. And then they stared down for a little bit, and then they played the music and the bell rang. So kind of confusing, kind of, does anybody know what's going on? No, it's the pre-show. Don't worry about it. No one's watching.
I called it. I said Matt Hardy was going to win. B, I liked it. I thought that it was really well done in the sense of they made Kane look like a threat. They had Dolph Ziggler basically trying his best to be a poor man Shawn Michaels, and he failed, much like he always does at trying to be Shawn Michaels. Terrible super kicks, terrible Rumble elimination style spots, and finally he got tossed. I thought it was a cool little callback to have Corbin toss Kane out, similar to what he did at 32. Mojo Rawley just hitting Zack Ryder with a pounce. That was interesting. And then Bray Wyatt showing up out of nowhere. I'm like, cool. You know, I like what he did. And he did this before. When he worked with Orton and even when he worked with Reigns, where he would do the Sister Abigail and kind of leave them to the next person. So I thought that was a good idea of them being together. I hope they stay together for a little bit longer than the inevitable Bray turns on them, because I think they could do some really fun stuff together. And both of them right now have no direction. So Matt and Bray as a tag team, go with it. And honestly, if you want to introduce the Freebird rule and let Jeff, Matt and Bray kind of go back and forth, I have no problem with that. I hope they do some really fun segments at the compound, you know, let Bray's wacky character and Matt wacky character do. You need some things to fill Raw anyway. Let them work together for quite some time.
Yeah, I echo everyone's thoughts so far. I think actually I will say this is the perfect pre-show match now. It should be Legends who win it. And so Matt Hardy winning it this year is fine. We look back at some previous winners that probably shouldn't have won. I will say, though, now looking at this, I don't think we need two battle royals every year. You know, like the women's one, maybe you move that to SummerSlam, make it special so that way the SummerSlam, it's the women's SummerSlam Battle Royal. That might be something WWE does. But anyway, moving on.
All right, let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, hands-down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 40% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. So, Doug, overall, what did you think about WrestleMania this year?
So I think I went in with an expectation of about a 6 or 7 or so, 6.5. And I think I leave with a 5. And that's because of Brock Lesnar winning. So because it was a good ending, I think it went up a little bit higher than what it was going to be. But it went too long. I watched from 4 o'clock until it ended at 11 o'clock. And by the time of it, I'm just done. The crowd seemed out of it for the most of part. It didn't seem like a hot crowd, a normal WrestleMania crowd. So if they're not getting into it and they paid all that money to go, why should I get into it when I'm sitting at home in comfort, but also sitting for 7 hours?
I had expectations that this could have been one of those special cards. This could have been X7. This could have been 19. This could have been even maybe what 24 was. And it fell short of that just because there were some poor decisions. Like, there were too many stupid moments that didn't need to be there, whether it was Strowman or that terrible Raw women's match, or, you know, having just decisions of Roman Reigns being booked to the high heavens as the modern day Hulk Hogan and kicking out of 5F5s. But there were some good things. Like, I don't want to be completely down this mania. Brock Lesnar retained. And against literally all odds, Brock walked out champion. You had some pretty fun matches earlier in the night. You saw the streak end. You had a good AJ Nakamura. It's not a great one, a good one. I'd probably give this around a 6, 6.5. The match between Lesnar and Reigns sucked. 31 was a much better match. Not even factoring in Seth Rollins' part from the point the match starts to the point the music hits for Rollins, that match bell to Rollins was better. This ending was fine because Brock stood tall. Other than that, nothing about the match that I really care about anymore.
So I went in with a 7 for my expectation. I would say it's probably a 6 in my opinion. It's long, and I've harped on that, for a number of years now, so I'm not going to harp on it anymore about that. But some of the matches also, I felt the pacing was a little off. How they started the show was kind of interesting, too. I felt like the Asuka-Charlotte match, probably later on the card, Triple H-Ronda should have been a lot shorter. I'm very surprised at the ending. It's not what I expected, but it wasn't the good ending of 31. If you look at 31, the card as a whole, it's not that great of a WrestleMania, but the ending was so spectacular, and it's something that we have not seen in a long time. And Michael Cole had an amazing call by calling it the heist of the century. That was fantastic. This one, it just was like, Roger and I both were stunned at this. I mean, we were flabbergasted, but we were also like, well, now what? And it like a little bit of like, and a little bit of intrigue. So that's why I'm saying probably a 6 out of 10 for me. So it's not terrible. It's better than last year's. It's one that I would have been very happy to have seen it live. But at the same time, I also would have been starting to get a little, maybe I need a cup of coffee right now. Maybe I need an energy drink or something. But all in all, it was a good WrestleMania. Better than 31? Probably not. Better than 32 and 33? Yeah, I'd say so.
And I wanted to say that I thought the overall, okay, so you're talking 4 to 4 p.m. Central Time all the way to, I think it was like 11:30. So you're talking 7.5 hours of wrestling. At some point, you just need to, that's too much. And also, we've been saying it, everyone has said it, pacing. Pacing is key. You can't have Ronda go 20 minutes. I would even say knock 5 minutes off that match, and I would have been better with it. But I thought some of the matches, they were rushed so much. But overall, I think I'm okay with the 6 out of 10 still that I predicted. Maybe even a 5.5 out of 10. But overall, I was really excited. I can't say I was excited. I was actually kind of disappointed because I actually did have some high hopes going in. But, the RKO where he gave everyone RKOs, I was actually excited about that part. And there's a couple
didn't he give wait didn't he give Rusev an RKO DDT? Because I'm pretty sure Rusev sold that and he took it like a spike.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Yes, so he tried to murder Rusev on Rusev Day. Like, yeah. Seriously, it was Rusev Day, man.
And of course, I think that if we would have been there, I saw that a lot of people left. Roger, do you think we would have left that early like we did it in Dallas? Or would you have been standing and pointing and laughing at Roman?
I don't know if we would have left. I think it would have been one of those ones where we would have been doing like everybody else, where we would have been watching the crowd probably play with a beach ball or doing chants for NXT guys. One of the things that you notice, and we'll talk about this probably on the next show more, is that if you look at NXT last night and you look at how well that card was put together and the pacing, and each match was special, each match had a feud going in or it meant something, you saw how a WrestleMania-type card looked. And that one exceeded my high expectations. This card, which I had high expectations for because it could have been great, fell just a little bit short. Like, this should have been a 9, and it came down to a 6. You had a very talented card, but you put matches in the wrong order. You made some of these matches far too long. I mean, why did Alexa Nia match that? My wife doesn't watch wrestling, and she came in and goes, how is that going to be competitive? You didn't have like Alexa and Mickey jump Nia from the beginning. We're like, oh, maybe Nia can't get out of this. This was terrible offense from Alexa and stupid storytelling. That match should have been 2 minutes in a squash, if not 8 seconds squash. I don't care. You know, Ronda, Triple H, Hunter win his 20-minute matches. Stop, dude. You're not in your prime anymore. It was fine when you and Sean and Ben and He Who Shall Not Be Named wanted to go 30-plus minutes. You don't need to go this long with Ronda Rousey at this point. You know, so the whole Braun Strowman segment, that could have just not happened. That was a stupid waste of time. So, you know, there are things that still need to improve. And most importantly, 7 hours of wrestling just does not work. That's too much. I said this to Aaron, and it is the truth. AJ Nakamura was my main event. Once that match was over, I didn't really care. Obviously, the Brock shocking victory was weird, and that definitely caught me off guard. We were slack-jawed. But really, my interest level ended the moment the AJ Nakamura match slash angle was finished, because I just didn't care.
Yeah, but yep. So it's another WrestleMania, another ninth annual show that we've done 9 years in a row. And if you want to know what you thought about NXT, we will talk about that on the next show.
Wait a minute, before we go, what's the pick count? Because we have a championship to be talked about.
I forgot. I almost forgot about this. So with 4 out of 13 right, we have Aaron. With 6 out of 13 right, we have Doug. And tied for 7 out of 13, we have Roger and Andrew.
So that means you now join me as the reigning, defending, undisputed WrestleMania weekend picks champions, giving me a three-time championship victory.
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited. Not as excited as Nicholas was, I guess. But anyways.
Are we including NXT?
We will talk about NXT on next show. And
no, I mean in the pick'ems.
Oh.
Because if so.
Well, we're only talking WrestleMania. We're only talking WrestleMania.
Okay.
All right. So we'll talk about NXT on the next show. We will have some great. That'll be our weekly topic. I'm pretty sure everyone's going to enjoy that. So that's all the time we have for this WrestleMania special. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Roger Cave, Doug Hahn, and Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. And until next time,
we'll see you in the ring.